Amen. Well, when I was growing up, I loved Christmas. Okay, I still love Christmas. I love Christmas. It's a whole lot of fun. That's why I have this gift right up here, okay? You're thinking it's not December. I know, but we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about Christmas in June or July and really every day for the believer. And I loved it. I loved how my parents would just stack the presents under the tree. And some years there was even so much by God's grace that there were even presents around the tree, not just under the tree. And it would become, you know, Christmas morning. We'd wake up as early as we could. Now, once we became teenagers, that was about 11 o'clock or maybe noon, you know. But things change as you get older and go through puberty. I didn't think I was going to say that word this morning, but anyway. And so we'd run downstairs and we'd see the presents. The carnage would begin, and one after another, we would be ripping open those presents. And then at the end of all that, just spending the rest of the day playing with all the different toys and enjoying the gifts that we'd been given. But here's the deal. Something I believe really surprised my parents. And that is that at the end of all of it, you know what we would typically play with? The boxes. We'd go through the toys and all the gifts, and we'd find ourselves playing with the boxes. You know what I'm talking about. We're making ships and race cars and airplanes out of the boxes. We're making forts out of the boxes. And then at the very end, we'd cut them up and we'd make weapons and shields. And man, we would have a good time with the boxes. And I would imagine my parents looking back would think, hey, I got an idea. Next year, we can save a lot of money and just wrap empty boxes. And I don't even know if the kids will even know the difference. Anyway, I love Christmas. I love getting gifts. As God's children, we've been given some very special gifts. Isn't that a pretty box? Isn't that neat? I love these that are like this, where you can just lift the top off too. Easy, man. I'm all about that, right? And we've been given special gifts. It's like Christmas is every day for the follower of Christ. We've been given gifts that when we open them and actually use them, will reveal the glory of God. Will reveal His power, His heart. We have gifts that will encourage us and build us up in our faith, that will help us live life. And how many of you need help living life? Come on. If your hand didn't go up, I want to talk to you, because you're somebody special. I've never met anybody like you before. We all need help living life. And we've been given gifts that when we embrace and use, help us live this life that we now have in Christ Jesus. But what's surprising is there are many believers who get the gifts, but never use the gift and just end up doing like I did when I was a kid, playing with the boxes, the gifts being unused. And if the gifts are unused, they're also unappreciated. And ultimately, if they're unused and unappreciated, they're ineffective. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, has given the church gifts. What are these gifts? Why are they important? How should they be viewed? How should they be used? This morning, we're going to be launching into a new series. It's going to be an expository journey. That's a verse-by-verse journey through 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. And we're going to let God's Word answer these important questions about these important and amazing gifts that we've been given as the body of Christ. We're going to look at this because we want to make sure we're not missing them. We want to make sure we're embracing them and using them. I'm excited to open the box because we're going to be unwrapping the gifts of the Spirit. And that's the title of the series that we're going to be in for the next at least 6 weeks. It might go longer, I'm not sure. But the series is called Unwrapping the Gifts of the Spirit. We're going to be having a discussion as a church family about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's going to bring unity in our church family. I believe it's going to bring some significant encouragement to us as the body of Christ as we receive these gifts and as we use them. I know you're all wondering what's in here. And I'm feeling guilty. It's just some really cool, you know, stuff like that. So just, if you've been concerned about that, I don't want your mind distracted the rest of the sermon, all right? It's just some fluff stuff, okay? That's it, all right? I don't have, like, money in here for you or anything like that. All right, let's go right to Scripture, because that's what this is all about, isn't it? We want to see what God has to say about these gifts. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, launching right into this with verse 1. God's Word says, now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church in Corinth. It's a fiery church, man. These are people who would go all in with whatever they were doing in life. If it was sin, they were all in with sin. If it was the things of God, they were all in with the things of God. And sometimes, man, they would go so in that they'd be a little out of control. And so the Apostle Paul is writing and giving them God's heart. The Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul to help the church understand what they have and how to use what they have. And so the Holy Spirit saying this to us also as the church today, brothers, sisters, church, I want you to understand what you have. I don't want you to be ignorant about these special spiritual gifts that you've been given. We need to know about it. Unfortunately, some of the church will often neglect teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even worse, there are some who discourage the use of these gifts, which I think, frankly, just makes the Christian life really, really hard. So we're not going to go down that. We're not going to discourage this. Instead, we're going to dive into it because we want to see what God is saying. We want to see what God has. We don't want to be ignorant. We want to be fully informed. And I know that that's what we all want as Americans. Americans want to know. That's why we have Google and Wikipedia and all this other kind. We want to know. We want to know. We want to know. We don't want to be ignorant. So I don't want to be ignorant when it comes to what God has for us, the church, the people of God. So we're going to turn to God's Word and we're going to embrace all that He has. We're not going to turn away. You know what? Turning away from the Word of God and pushing it back is foolishness. And I believe the root of not wanting to go there with God in truth is pride. It is. And so we're going to get stripped of all of that as we dive into the gifts of the Spirit, because I'm sure at times it's going to make everyone in this room a little squeamish at times. And that's natural and that's okay. I love what Tom Lewis says. He doesn't know I'm going to point him out right now. But Tom says going to church, it should feel a little dangerous. It should feel a little dangerous. You're like a little bit like, I don't know exactly what God's going to do. And I believe that's how the Christian life should be. It should always feel a little dangerous because God is so big and He's always taking us from glory to glory. He's always moving us into new things because He has new things for us, and new things can seem dangerous and scary. But if it's God, it's good and it's exactly what we need. And so it's exactly what we want. A little danger in this walk as believers. So if you feel that way in the process of this study, it's okay. More than likely, those around you are feeling the same way from time to time. All right. Let's go on to verse 2. Verse 2 says this, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And so the cry of a true believer, what comes out of a true believer is Jesus is Lord in every area of our lives, not just lip service, but how we live, how we believe. Jesus is Lord, not us. We don't determine what's up, what's down, what's right, what's not, what we embrace, what we don't embrace, because Jesus is Lord. And our ability to truly make Jesus Lord and to show that He is Lord requires the involvement of the Holy Spirit. We can't truly fully display the splendor and the glory and the power of Jesus apart from God Himself coming in us and allowing us and empowering us to do that. We can't do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to truly allow our lives to declare Jesus is Lord. That's what Paul is saying. And so we continue in verse 4. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's a capital S. It's the Holy Spirit. That's God Himself. Different kinds of gifts, but they all are from the Holy Spirit, God. Now there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the title of this first message in this series is called, You Are Gifted. It's the title of today's message. You are gifted. We're going to let Scripture unwrap that for us and answer the following four questions as we move forward. Question number one, who has given us these spiritual gifts? The second question we're going to answer is, who has He given them to? The third is, why have we been given these gifts? And finally, what are these gifts? Y'all want the answer to that? All right. Well, God's going to tell us right here in His Word. Before we answer those four questions, though, I want us to distinguish between two things. That is the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, because they are different. There's a difference between the two, and I just want to make sure we lay that out before we roll forward anymore. The fruit of the Spirit is actually the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in us. He indwells us. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us is a changed life. Things begin to change. We start thinking differently. We start acting differently. Different stuff starts coming out of us because the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is dwelling in us. And so instead of leaking out all the yuck, we start leaking out God and His kingdom and His goodness and His love and His mercy and self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit that are talked about in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against these things happening in and through the life of a believer. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that we're born again, that the Spirit of God is now living in us, that we're new creations. And when God dwells in us, change happens. And we bear fruit. Thus, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit are the result of the release of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The release of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Y'all remember it. The believers were all in the upper room. They were waiting for the promise. What was the promise? The release of the Holy Spirit over the church. And so on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was released into, over, and in the church. The believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to be empowered to continue the work of Christ on this earth. That's something we need to understand. Sometimes we pigeonhole the baptism of the Holy Spirit into just kind of, it's the signs and wonders, the shock and awe aspect for those who want the shock and awe and all of the crazy, wild things of being a Christian. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the release of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in and over our lives is actually what we need to be able to do the Great Commission. To be able to live out and accomplish what Christ has given us to do on this earth as His witnesses. So it goes beyond the shock and awe and the tongues and the prophecy and all that. But it definitely includes that, as we're going to see in a little bit. It says in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus actually declared this to the church. He said, but you will receive power. It's a release of power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And again, God has commissioned us to do some pretty important big things that we can't do in our own strength. We're not smart enough and we're not strong enough to fulfill the Great Commission, to do the things He did and even greater things. And so He sent the Holy Spirit to be released on us and in us so that we would be empowered to accomplish that which He has called us to do as the church. Isn't that awesome? Again, God doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't call us to anything impossible. He calls us to big things, but nothing impossible because He always gives us all we need for life and godliness. So we're about to find out that these gifts also build up the body of Christ. They build us up. And they bring glory to God. So let's start unwrapping the gifts. Ooh. Question number one. Who has given us these gifts? We're going to start with that one. Who has given us these gifts? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. God tells us this in His Word. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but check this out. But the same God... It's a capital G, that's God, the creator of the universe, but the same God works all of them in all men. So God is the one who has given us these special spiritual gifts. In fact, verse 11, which we're going to hit in just a little while, clarifies that these gifts are from the Holy Spirit, and He gives them to the believer as He wills. So it's important that we understand the source of these gifts is God. You got to understand that. It's not something you're whipping up in your own imagination or strength. Or God is the one who releases these gifts in the church, in us. The source is God. The administration of these is from God. The energy to use these gifts is from God. It's all from Him and it's all for Him. That's what it's all about. And because it's all from God, that means we can never boast about what gifts He's given us or not given us for now. We can never boast about that. We don't need to envy one another because the giver is God. It's not based on what we're doing or what we're wanting to happen. It's God who gives them. And we don't have to compete. Rather, we just humbly receive and use these wonderful gifts. And we serve one another with them. And we glorify God when we do so. So God has given us these gifts. But to whom? Let's go to question number two. Who has been given these gifts? Jumping back to verse 6 of our text. Verse 6 says God empowers these gifts in all men, meaning in every believer. It's God who gives the gifts. Who does He give them to? He gives them to the believers, to the church, to all of us. So are you a believer? Have you been born again in Christ Jesus? Is He your Lord and Savior? Well, then the Holy Spirit has gifts for you. He has gifts for you. You are gifted. Remember the title of the message? You're gifted. God gives the gifts, and He gives them to us, those who are believers, who are followers of Jesus, who've been born again in Christ. They're not reserved for some special class of Christian. Sometimes we wrongly think that. Maybe even people teach that. The special class of Christian. When you get to this level, man, that's when you get the gifts. But that's not what Scripture says. There's only one class of believer. You're either in Christ or you're out. You know, you're either saved or you're not. You're either lost or found. There's only one. There's only one class of believers. But because of a lack of teaching, these gifts have gone neglected and left unopened by much of the church, even those who have the gifts right there for them. See, we got to know what we have. That's why we got to read the Word. That's why we got to open up our Bibles. We got to know who God is. And we just went through a whole series about that, about making Him big again. Then we got to know who we are, and we got to know what we have, and we don't have to wonder about any of those or make anything up, because God's word is very clear. It lays it out so nicely for us, because God doesn't play games. He wants us to know truth. And so he's given it to us very plainly in black and white and red in the letters of Christ, right? The Apostle Paul. He's reminding the church in Corinth and today that God empowers these gifts in everyone as he wills. We're going to talk about that in a moment, too. He empowers them in every believer as he wills. So don't leave the gift or the gifts that the Holy Spirit is releasing in your life. Don't leave them unopened or unwrapped or unused, because God's giving you those gifts. So God gives spiritual gifts to his children in the church, but why? Let's dive right into question number 3. Isn't it great when you go through God's word? It's just so systematic, walking you right through truth. Question number 3 that we might have is, why have we been given these gifts? We have them. God's given them to us, but why? And verse 7 helps us understand that. The Lord says that now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good. We've been given the gifts of the Spirit. We've been given this baptism of the Holy Spirit. God himself has been unleashed and released and poured into us and on us and over us and through us for the common good. What does that mean? It's for the purpose of us ministering to one another. That's why we have these gifts. For the benefit of the whole body of Christ. I thought of it this way this week. If I receive $100 from somebody in this church, which I'm always open to do, just a gift of $100. If anybody ever wants to give me a $100 bill. But anyway, if one of you were to give me a $100 bill, but you said, look, here's $100, and I want you to use this to take the whole family, your whole family, out for a nice lunch so that everyone can enjoy some time together and be blessed. Now, if you gave me the money with that understanding, but I took the $100 and I went out and played around a fancy golf somewhere, which I like to play golf, but I like to play for free, by the way. But if you went out and I went out and I used it for golf, or I went out because, you know, I just wanted a new fancy pair of shoes or a new outfit or something like that. Or I bought some, aftershave, fancy aftershave and man lotions or something like that. I don't even know what that stuff is, by the way. I know some of you guys may do that. You smell great. You look great. I'm a little more rustic than that. But anyway, but if I took the $100 and I went and used it for myself, I would not be using the gift you gave me in the proper way. The gift was not intended just for me, so that I would only benefit. You gave me the $100 so that my whole family would be blessed by it, so that I could be the conduit or the one that is able to take that gift from you and bless others with it. I'm supposed to use it for the common good, but some believers choose to use the spiritual gifts for selfish and prideful purposes. It happens because we're still broken. I'm sure it's happened in almost everyone in this room, where we've twisted something God's given us and we've been selfish with it. You don't need to raise your hands. Please don't. Sometimes folks will use these gifts to gain attention, maybe to try to get position in the body of Christ and to look like they're all that. And people will even use these gifts to try to get wealthy. We've seen it happen from time to time. But we have to remember that these gifts are not rewards. The gifts of the Spirit, they're not badges for us to wear to say, hey, look at me. Look who I am. Look how important I am. Look what I can do for you. That's not what they're for. They're to be used for the common good. They're to be used with humility to benefit your brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're to be used to release the love of God, the word of God, the heart of God, the power of God into one another's lives. That's what the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us are meant for. so that we won't have a lack in the body of Christ. Why? Because we're using what He's given us for one another. And when we use the gifts in that way, oh, does it put a smile on our Heavenly Father's face? I believe it. Because we're using what He's given us in the right way. And so the Holy Spirit has given us these special gifts to build up the whole church and to glorify God. So I want us to open up the box, which I kind of already have done here. And I want us to start looking at the actual gifts. I want to talk about the gifts that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What are these gifts? That's question number four that Scripture's going to answer for us right now. What are these gifts that God has given the church that we might use them for the common good? It says in verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Verse 10 says, and to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Just as He determines. Now, I find it interesting that the New Testament lists specific gifts in so many different places. Six different passages in the New Testament, gifts from the Holy Spirit are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, two times, two different places in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 4, in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 7, and in 1 Peter chapter 4. Gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the church are talked about, are revealed to us. And here's what's also interesting. Every one of those lists, it's a little different. Like, whoa, wait a minute then. What's wrong with God? He's confused. No, He's not. I believe what the Lord is showing us as He shows us all of these different gifts and He lays them out to the church, to the different bodies within the church when they need them, is that He has so many gifts for the church. So many gifts that we're going to continue to be wowed by what He has for us. What He desires to pour into us and over us and through us so that we can build each other up and be successful at following Jesus and bringing people to Christ and being the church. He's got so much for us. We go back again to what Jesus said. Well, you're going to be doing the things I did, but even greater things. He's taking us and transforming us in ever-increasing glory. And like we said last week, the best is yet to come. But we're going to look at the nine gifts that He's talking about right here in our passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. Right here. Let's look at these nine gifts that He's been very clear about. And He's been very clear about their use and their benefit. Nine gifts. I'm going to talk about these in sets of three. Groups of three. The first group of gifts we're going to call revelation gifts. These are gifts that reveal something. Revelation gifts. When you look at it, we find out about the words of wisdom. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Words of wisdom, the ability to apply biblical principles in practical ways to specific situations. That wisdom, that ability to be able to understand what God is saying in His Word, and being able to then share it with others, and being able to then apply it in our own lives. Words of wisdom. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's the first gift I got when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was the first gift I got. You might be thinking, well, the first gift we always get is a gift of tongues. I'm like, well, not really. It doesn't say that in Scripture. It says we have all these available to us, and that the Holy Spirit will give them out as He wills. As He knows when we need them, what the season is, what gift do you need for this season in your life? For me, the first gift He gave was wisdom. He knew I needed His Word to come alive in my life, and that when it did, it would draw me in. He knew that's what I needed, and He knew that when that happened, it would benefit my family and so many others. So the first revelation kind of gift is the words of wisdom. The second is words of knowledge. Now, words of knowledge is a little different than words of wisdom. Words of knowledge is the ability to discover, analyze, and organize truth for the benefit of others. Others would associate words of knowledge with like a supernatural perception of what God is saying, of what he's wanting to do, of where his heart is, of what the next move God wants to do. It's a word of knowledge. And we see that happening often here at Evident Life Church. In fact, last week alone, we had three different words of knowledge that were brought during our corporate ministry time up front here with a microphone. We had one that was about healing for a right foot. The Lord wanted to highlight, he wanted to bring that knowledge and understanding that he was wanting to move. He understood somebody had an issue and a need, and he's wanting to move in that. Another one was something with a brain. They were having issues with damage that had happened to their brain and residual problems with that. And the Lord wanted to highlight that. He brought that word of knowledge to let you know that he understands your need, he understands your situation, and he wants to move in it. He's not unaware, and he's ready to release his goodness, his healing, his life over you in that area. And the third word of knowledge that we had last week was a word about releasing some people from condemnation, something that they've been carrying for a long time, a lie of the enemy. That the Lord wants you to walk away from that. He has freedom for you in that. He's forgiven you. Words of knowledge. Gifts that reveal something to the church. The third revelation style of gift that we find in 1 Corinthians 12 is the one of distinguishing or discerning between spirits. The ability to clearly discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, distinguishing the real deal from the counterfeit. Is this truly from the Lord? And we need this gift in the church. We need this in the church because the enemy wants to come to rob, kill, and destroy. He loves to come and he loves to twist that which God meant for good. He loves to take the good things of God and twist them and just change them a little bit. You know, you've read about that where you add a little bit of rat poisoning to a batch of brownies, which, you know, I love brownies, right? And it ruins the whole batch, right? It's deadly. And so the enemy loves to come and take what God means for good and twist it. And so he's given the church a gift that we can walk in to distinguish between spirits, to distinguish between truth and error, to distinguish where something is coming from, the source of what that is. And I thank God for those walking in that gift in this church. It's important. We need one another for these reasons. You see how this builds us up? You see how this protects us? How this helps us? When we're walking in these and operating in these, it would be a scary place to be if nobody in an entire local congregation had the gift of discerning of spirits, distinguishing between spirits. Then you get tossed to and fro. I mean, it could get crazy, right? And so we need, as a body, as a family of believers, to be walking in these gifts and using them because they're good for us. The next set of gifts are the power gifts. I'm going to roll through these quickly now. These are gifts that do something. Faith is a gift, the gift of faith, that extraordinary confidence in God. You're so confident in God, it's a gift. There are some people that are so confident in God, I mean, they jump. They go for big things. They put themselves out there because they know God has called them to do it, and they're so full of faith. Those are the kind of people that will lead the church into new things, into exciting things, into places that are scary to go. But because he's given the gift of faith to people in the body of Christ, the whole church can go places where God wants us to go. He gives us that gift to pull us in and to push us in to his plans, purposes, and promises. And so we have a gift of faith that's released in people in the church so we can be all he's called us to be and be about his business. The gift of healing is another power gift. I keep praying, man, I want more people in this church with the gift of healing. I mean, we can all pray for healing. Pray for your own healing. Pray for one another. We all do that. You come and you get prayer from the elders, just like we did this morning. But there are those that just, the Lord says, I give a special gift at a special time and a special season. I give a gift that they will be used to bring physical healing into the body of Christ. It's beautiful. I believe Tab has that gift. just pointed out right now. We heard it again this morning. She prays for the sick. She lays hands on them, whether they're some stranger in an airport or whether they're a sister in the Lord right here in the body of Christ. And healing happens. It happens God's way and God's timing to glorify Him. But healing is released. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. We got the gift of miracles, being able to perform signs and wonders that give authenticity to God's word, that demonstrate that God is the same today as He was yesterday. To demonstrate that, yes, we are doing the same things Jesus was doing and even greater things, because the gift of miraculous powers of miracles is released in the church, and we're called to take hold of that and to receive that and to walk in that, to encourage one another, build each other up, and to glorify God. Inspiration gifts are the last three that we're going to look at here in 1 Corinthians 12. The gift of prophecy, which is essentially being able to proclaim the message of God. Being able to proclaim the word of God. Theologian Wayne Grudem, who's at Phoenix Seminary, he says that prophecy is telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. That's how he defines it. Another inspiration gift is the gift of tongues. Receiving and delivering a message from the Lord in a different language. That's the gift of tongues that's talked about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's also spiritual languages that we can pray in and that we can sing in that God releases as you go into the other explanations of the gifts that we talked about in all six different places in the New Testament. But in chapter 12 right here, 1 Corinthians, the Lord's talking about that specific gift of tongues, which is a form of prophecy in a different language, bringing the word of God in another strange foreign language, which then is followed up with the interpretation of tongues. Which is that ability to interpret, to declare in our language that's understandable what was just spoken in another language by a brother or sister in the church. And we're going to get into more of that when we get to chapter 14. It's an exciting topic, one that frankly freaks a lot of people out and scares them and has them nervous. But I'm telling you what, that's the week you're going to want to be here for that kind of stuff. Because when we go to God's word, all the freaking out kind of goes away and all the excitement kind of comes on us. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen when we get there in chapter 14. And I pray that these gifts that we've just talked about in chapter 12, I pray that we see more of them. I pray that we as a church family would not be afraid of them, but embrace them, would long for them, would say yes and amen to everything God has. I need you. I need you to say yes to the gifts that God is determining to unleash and release and reveal in and through your life. I need it. I need to benefit by that. I need that prophetic word, that word of knowledge. I need that wisdom, the miraculous powers and healings. I need to hear the word of God through tongues and interpretation. I need all of this, so I need my church family saying yes and amen to what God is wanting to do in us and through us. You can look around to one another. In fact, I want to ask you to do all right. Look to your neighbor and just say, you are gifted. Say it. Now receive the gift. And third, use it. And then finally say, because I need it. I need it. Amen. I want to conclude by saying you're gifted. Every one of you. Again, verse 11, he gives these gifts to each one just as he determines. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid. It can be scary. I remember, you know, you get your bike as a little kid. The first time you've ever received a bike, it's a wonderful gift. Usually not in a box. They roll it out with a nice bow on it. Oh, it's so exciting. But then there's that fear. Now what? They want me to get on it and ride it. And I've never done this before. Come on now. And so what do you do as a parent? You encourage them to get on, to push through the fear. And then you hold the seat for them and run alongside of them and help them, you know, and then maybe let them go and crash and burn, right? It happens. They might get skinned up, even cry a little bit. But what do? You say, come on, that's okay. Let me clean you off a little bit, give you a popsicle or something like that, and let's get back on the bike and let's try again. And you don't give up, and you end up riding that bike and having a blast with the gift that your parent just gave you. And that's what God is wanting you to experience. You may be afraid, and you may need training wheels. I needed training wheels with the gift of tongues for a long time. I was babbling like the same four syllables, it seemed like, for months. I'm like, God, help me. I'm ready. I don't want training wheels anymore. Help me, God. You know, but we just say yes to what God has for us. And we trust him. We receive the gift. We ride it, man. And it's awesome. I want to ask you to stand up.